All right, guys, lots to talk about. Hope everyone in Florida is being safe. Shout out to my boy Ray down there in Florida, man. Stay good, man. Be well. I know Ron DeSantis, guys, got your back. You got 25,000 linemen set up, ready to tackle this thing in case of a power outage. But stay indoors. Hope you have supplies. Hope you're all ready. Hope this just passes through and everything's good. Anyway, guys, today's episode, I want to talk about this dude. This guy, I'm not going to say I'm mad at him. I'm not going to say I hate him. I'm just going to report it as it is. I do not feel bad for this guy at all. He's famous now on TikTok. He's trending like crazy. It's not really making the front page news yet, I guess because the hurricane kind of took over. But here's a guy who's serving. He served his time, supposedly. Allegedly, you're saying he served his time. He did serve his time, I guess. That was given to him. But I think he should have served life. He was recently attacked by a sword-wielding vagrant at the homeless shelter where he now works. And like I said, he's currently trending on TikTok as he posts updates to his recovery. So let's go into what his name is. His name is John Romano. He was recently released in early 2020 from prison and had to have his arms reattached. That's right. Because, unfortunately, they were severed in a terrifying August 29th attack in Albany, which also left him with severe injuries to his head and his legs. Again, this is all according to the Times Union. And I do not feel bad for this man because he was a school shooter. So, Romano, 34 years old, retells the ordeal last week in the first of a series of 9 TikToks recorded from his hospital bed. And he goes through his range of emotions, you know, from hopelessness all the way to optimism, right? He's just retelling the story what happened, right? So he's working. Quote, the guy comes running right at me screaming, effing white devil. And you know, I run for my life, literally, Romano says in one of the now million viewed clips on TikTok. And I don't want to say you deserve it. But I just don't feel bad for you, man. Any school shooter, I don't feel bad for, no matter what happens. He said the attack started after he confronted a man getting lunch at the homeless shelter because he used racist language. And I don't like racist language, clearly. But, okay, I respect him for that. I'm glad he stuck up for that. That's good. The assailant, who had 2 swords on him, catches me on the stairway and knocks me down, and I'm laying on the stairs, Romano recalled. Oh, no. Imagine you look up and you see this dude there mad with 2 swords in your hand. You're like, oh, Lord. Quote, he just starts swinging the swords. Oh, and he's chopping up my legs real bad. Yeah. And I'm just holding them up, even as they're falling apart. Man, I mean, I don't like him. Well, that's an ordeal, though, man. Romano said, yeah, he lost consciousness. Next thing you know, he wakes up, and the deranged dude is chopping off his arms, y'all. And I don't know why I'm alive to this day, he says. Quote, I've been in the hospital for 3.5 weeks. I can't really move my arms or my legs. Now, I can move my left one a little bit, but not my hands, and I got pins holding my bones together. Ouch. And I've lost all independence, man. I'm just lying in bed 24/7. Now, the suspect, the alleged suspect Randall Mason, 42 years old, is charged with multiple felonies, including attempted first-degree murder. I guess there's no law for having swords, I guess, right? He reportedly admitted to police. He admits it, that he, quote, chopped up Romano after a disagreement. Whoa. Romano has been seeking redemption for, and this is why I don't really like you, for the shooting at Columbia High School in the Albany suburbs nearly 2 decades ago. Again, this is all according to the Times Union. At the time, Romano was only 16 years old. Grabs a shotgun, 12-gauge. Fires the shotgun. holds it in his hands that no longer work right now, fires the shotgun at students and staff, injuring a teacher before he was eventually tackled and finally disarmed by an assistant principal. Again, this is all according to the news outlet. Eventually, he was convicted of attempted murder and released from prison in early 2020. Since then, he's been working at the Community Connection Center in the poverty-stricken neighborhood of Arbor Hill, which, again, is not far from the capital, the state capital. And in some of the clips, you know, he's reliving, he's telling his story of what happened. You know, again, these clips racked up millions of views. And he seems upbeat. He's focused on overcoming his injuries. You know, he's excited. Quote, "We're still going to push forward. We're still going to talk about reforms and doing good," he said. Good news is he regained some movement in his arms, which again were reattached after he got cut off, and said doctors told him there is a chance he could one day walk again. In one clip, posted this past Sunday, Romano is seen basking in the sun in the courtyard of the hospital. Quote, "It's a gorgeous day, and I just wanted to share it with y'all," he said through a wide grin, "and I really needed this, and I'm so happy for this. I'm happy to be alive." Now, what's interesting about this is that he's, you know, yes, he's technically disabled. That's the sad news. The good news is, and you're to call me whatever you want to call me, he can't hold no shotgun no more, let alone pull the trigger. Sorry, I have to say it. That's why I don't feel bad, dude. You tried to shoot up a school. At 16, whatever. Whatever, man. Maybe this is payback. Maybe you traumatized all those kids and teachers, and this is payback. I don't think he should be getting the views. I'm hoping nobody, like, if he has a GoFundMe, I hope no one donates to it, because I do not feel bad for any school shooter. I don't care your age. I don't care your motive. None of that. Them teachers and kids, no matter what they could have said or done to you, does not deserve taking their life. Now you're paralyzed, man. I don't know what to tell you. It is what it is. Now, keep that in mind, because, you know, mental illness is a big thing. Apparently it was big for him when he was 16. Apparently he's over it now. I'm not sure if he's on any medications or what the story is now, but the guy who tried to chop him apart in pieces probably suffers from mental illness as well. Another person who suffered from mental illness is, I reported about this guy a few weeks back. I think it was early September, I want to say. He was a former Alameda County deputy. His name was Devin Williams Jr. Remember, he shot and killed a married couple inside their home. At the time, we had no idea what was happening. Why'd he go into this random home and shoot everybody, right? It was following his shift at the Santa Rita jail. And it was very, very strange. I had some guesses that there was some romantic involvement between the three of them. Who knows? And apparently I was right. He had been romantically involved with the female, who of course was a nurse and was married at the time. Now, what's happening? Coincidentally, maybe, maybe not. But a news outlet is reporting that Williams failed his psychological exam. And because of liability issues, the sheriff is now auditing who else in the department might have also failed. That's a big problem, right? I mean, we can't have... There's one thing to have mental illness, another thing to have police officers who have mental illness, because they have guns and they enforce the law. So, maybe coincidence, maybe not, but nearly 50 deputies, guys, in one California Sheriff's Agency have been relieved of their police duties. Not because of COVID, but because of unsatisfactory ratings on psychological examinations dating back to 2016. What? That means from 2016 to now, you had these unwell officers on the streets with guns, tasers, doing all this stuff. You know what I mean? What the hell are we... Come on now, California. Even the police is messed up, y'all. In a September 23rd letter, Alameda County Sheriff Gregory Ahern claims, In a recent internal audit, 47 deputies had received a deed not suited evaluation from January 2016 through the present. The move means the impacted deputies will be stripped of their arresting powers and firearms, which is good. We want them to retake the test, want them to do better, seek the help they need. Here's the thing. They will retain their pay and benefits. I don't know if, well, I'm on the fence with that, man, because maybe they just fail the test. Maybe they're just bad test takers. You know, I'm a bad test taker. That's why, you know, I'm not an officer. Ahern said another psych exam would be scheduled, and his intention is to, quote, resolve this issue as quickly as possible and, quote, return to full duty status once you obtain a suitable finding or suitable grade. Which makes sense. I don't know about the full pay and benefits part, but, you know, maybe, you know, what are you going to do? They need to survive. It's just crazy times, especially in California. It ain't cheap. Anyway, Sheriff Spokesman Lieutenant Ray Kelly told the news outlet that retest would occur in the next couple of months, but he had no idea how many of the 47 deputies would be able to get their jobs back. And this is at a time when we need police officers, man. Crime is going up. This is a big problem. The retest could be conducted by a psychologist who doesn't work for the sheriff, who is also accredited with this California State Commission on California State Commission on Peace Officer Standards, right? We need that. So it's like, you know, no bias there. But we're at a point right now where crime is not going down. Right, violent crimes, robberies, attacks, especially on the Asian, especially on businesses being looted and robbed, and you can't afford to have 50 officers, 47 officers off the street. We need 400 officers on the street. You know what I mean? And it makes you wonder. Now that's 2016. How many recent ones have failed the test and they just like pushed it through because we need officers on the street? You know, that's very concerning. You know, that's very problematic. And I'm hoping this is only a California, wholly local to this sheriff department. I'm hoping that the rest of the country is not dealing with this as far as officers failing the psychiatric assessment test is concerned. That is a big problem. But there's something else that took place in the news. Not in New York, not in California, but in Texas, guys. And when I tell you the story, understand who I am and understand how I kind of am on... I'm on both sides of this. Because I want a peaceful... Like Trump is trying to do with Ukraine and Russia. I want a peaceful... And Germany. A peaceful negotiation and just... Let's just move forward from here. But these armed activists in Texas, they want a little bit more than peace. You know, so these armed activists in Texas over here... They are with a coalition of black self-defense groups. They marched in Austin, Texas over this past weekend, calling for an end. And I like this part. This is the part I like. They're calling for an end to illegal immigration, and they're demanding that President Biden close the borders. And I like this. I like this. I agree. Close the borders. What are we doing? Some of the activists chanted, "Close the borders and take your ass home," as they marched toward the Texas Capitol in the Second Amendment Unity Walk on Saturday. Again, these guys are armed to the T. You know what I mean? The march was led by the Elmer Geronimo Pratt Pistol and Rifle Gun Club. Some of their demands include, wait for it, reparations for descendants of enslaved people, and a hate crime bill protecting black Americans. Before you get upset, think about that. Now think about what they're saying. They're asking for reparations for descendants of slaves. And I like that. They're not asking for everybody who's black to get reparations. Only the ones who were descendants. Basically, only the ones that were really impacted by, you know, directly, almost directly impacted, maybe indirectly impacted by slavery. I like that, right? And the hate crime bill protecting Black Americans, that could be a wide range of things. You know, maybe that's to help them, you know, as far as the courts are concerned. Maybe it's to help them when it comes to police officers. Maybe they'll have, like, a, you know, a certain, I don't know, maybe a Black officer, you know, second opinion. I don't know how that's going to work. There's no really details about that. But hey, I'm cool. We need these people on our side, y'all. We really need these people on our side, in my opinion. Now, the group has faced, here's my problem, the group faced opposition from a handful of Trump supporters and other protesters who gathered at the Texas State Capitol to support January 6th defendants. Which I think there was just some miscommunication there, because I don't understand why they would be beefing. Saturday's march comes after Texas Governor Abbott and Arizona Governor Doug Ducey sent thousands of migrants by bus to D.C., New York, and Chicago, all three sanctuary cities that have pledged not to cooperate with federal immigration enforcement. Hey, we know this. You want them? Take them. What's the problem? You say you want to accept everyone, let open the border? Okay, catch. It's open. Here, catch. Video and photos of the third annual Second Amendment Unity Walk show the marchers, again, they're armed with guns as they walk through the streets of Austin toward the Texas State Capitol. Other than the Elmer Geronimo Pratt Pistol and Rifle Gun Club, several other groups were also involved, including the Black Riders Liberation Party. I'm not familiar with them at all. I'm trying to think if I know anything about them. I don't recall anything about them. Another group, the group chanted "Reparations Now." But we need them on our team, guys. We need them. We need them. We do. "We don't say hands up, don't shoot," one explained. "Guns up, shoot back." Ooh, well, that's aggressive. The activists continued their march through Austin, holding a massive sign that read "Reparations Now." Again, they're asking for those direct descendants, right? "Close the borders," they chanted. One yelled, "Build the wall." But the phrase didn't catch on. Quote, "Immigrants have been here." Another person yelled, "Take your ass home." As vehicles honked and honked and honked at the activists as they continued to march through the intersections, chanting, quote, what do we want? Close borders. When do we want it? Now. What do we want? Close borders. When do we want it? Now. Once at the Capitol building, a speaker summarized the group's demands as the following things. And we already touched on it, but let's go through it again. They want reparations now, delineation, and a stop to illegal immigration. "We need an anti-crime bill for Black Americans." "And we need the same protection act that the Native Americans have against CPS for our Black Americans' children." Interesting. Okay, for the children. Well, I gotta look into that and see exactly what that details. "Republicans do not dare to make the mistake of thinking you will get our vote just because we believe in exercising our Second Amendment." Well, yes, I'm talking to you, Ted Cruz, and Governor Abbott. Well, that's what I'm saying. We need to get them on our side, man. I think this is going to be a good thing if we can get them on board. "Don't think we are standing with you because we are against illegal immigration." The speaker also calls out Vice President Kamala Harris to step up. I think they're like 50% on board. They just really need to be like spoken to, and I don't know. Nick Bezel, one of the activists with the group, advocated reparations for descendants of enslaved people as a justice claim. "What we don't want to hear is America doesn't have the money. Ukraine," he told the group. Well, that's a good point. "That could be going to the children of people who built this nation." Also a good point. He later told Ford Fisher that they brought attention to the black agenda, including reparations and other legislation. He then said they plan to go into the Texas State House in January to lobby for legislation. Be careful. Don't make this an insurrection, y'all. We do have a problem with illegal immigration, he says, because a lot of times jobs are taken away from black people. Black people are locked out from employment due to illegal immigration, is what he's saying. Another activist on the walk stated, quote, "I am a racist," and then broke down the word, claiming that as a pianist practices piano, "I am a racist. I practice my race." Well, I don't know about that one. "I practice hard, too. Get good at it." I don't know if you should have said that, but okay. Well, I'm not making that t-shirt. The march was held in the days after Vice President Kamala Harris slammed the Republicans for dragging the migrants to locations across the country for the sake of a headline. Remember, this is after Governor Greg Abbott dropped two buses full of asylum seekers off in front of her home. Those memes are fire, by the way. I love those memes. The vice president was put in charge of the migration crisis by President Joe Biden, a.k.a. the border czar. But her office quickly branded the role as addressing the root causes why people flee to the U.S. from the northern triangle countries. Interestingly enough, a CRC research survey shows that 63% of likely voters think the burden should not only be on the border states, and 51% of Democrats even agree to that. So we even have the majority of the Democrats agreeing, guys, that the border problem is the entire country's problem, not just the border state's problem. This is a massive, massive improvement, in my opinion. That means that a lot of Democrats could potentially be voting Republican for the first time during this midterm election. Major news. Also, it's a good thing to think that a lot of these black people that were marching in Texas, some of them may also vote Republican because they damn sure ain't going to vote Democrat. They damn sure ain't going to vote Democrat with everything they're talking about. If they look at the two and they got to pick one, I'm pretty sure they're going to pick Republican or Independent. And at this point, I'd rather have Republican or Independent than a Democrat. I mean, obviously, I'd rather have Republican, but if I had to choose. So I think this is fantastic news. That is why I want to talk about it, because it's very rare that I do have good news, especially with the hurricane and this whole Ukraine and all the money going over to Ukraine, all the craziness. You know, this, in my opinion, is good news because I feel that a lot of them will vote our way. What do you guys think? Comment below, like, follow, more to come. Don't forget, hit me up on Twitter at CJ Bronson Show. TikTok was the same handle at CJ Bronson Show. CJBronsonShow.com for all the links. And the store is available, guys. New shirts and merch every week coming out. It's CJBronsonStore.com. Use code ULTRAMAGA for free shipping. All right, guys. Be safe. Keep your head on a swivel. Always keep something on you to protect yourself. And you know I'll talk to you guys soon. All right. Bye-bye.